What's up, Mzanzi? You are listening to the World's Best Podcast presented by Juan Ifra Digital Media Awards, Food for Mzanzi's very own Farmers Inside Track podcast. I'm your host, Octavius Pandil. Have you ever wondered where seeds come from or who's behind South Africa's seed quality standards? Well, over the next few months, we'll introduce you to South Africa's national seed organization, SANSO, Mzanzi's designated authority on all things seeds in the country. In this episode, we chat to Dr. Lokeshni Chetty, General Manager of SANSO, who provides an in-depth look at the organization's mission and its pivotal role in the seed industry. Dr. Chetty, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It's absolutely lovely to have you with us today. You know, SANSO is established in 1989, the South African National Seed Organization, and it has quite a long history. But for those unfamiliar with your work, can you introduce SANSO and explain your mission?
Hi, Octavia. Thanks. That's a really good start off point. SANSO is the South African National Seed Organization. And often when people ask me, where do I work? And I say, I work at a seed organization. They say, seed? What's that? And so I find often within the spectrum of agriculture, not many people, even within agriculture, think about seed. Somehow, seed has just always been there for them. But my message to anyone who asks me about this is the basis of agriculture is seed. So we're a seed trade association. We're a member-based organization. We've been around formally for 35 years, but I'm sure you know seed has been around for thousands of years. Our primary job is to make sure that our members, which are seed companies, can move seed around the world to farmers in South Africa and around the world. So it's the uninterrupted movement of high-quality seed, ensuring farmers are able to access various crop types and various seed from all over the world.
Doc, recognized by many as the leading authority on seed matters in South Africa, how does SANSO support its members and contribute to the agricultural sector?
As a member-based organization and a seed trade association, our primary job is representation. So we engage with our members to represent them on numerous issues that impact seed trade. These are things like national policy issues, global policy issues, international treaties and conventions. We engage with them on dealing with seed trade barriers, phytosanitary barriers. Another area of engagement and representation is quality seed. SANSO is also the national designated authority for seed certification in South Africa, and we certify seed on the South African Seed Scheme, OECD Seed Scheme, and the IOSCA Seed Scheme. So numerous issues that impact seed trade, that is our core focus.
Could you provide an overview of South Africa's seed industry, including its main components and how they actually interact?
The seed companies that we represent span from those companies that sell field crop seeds. Those are the grains, the maize, soybean, wheat, canola, barley, oats, the grain crops, vegetable and ornamental crops. Also flowers, all vegetables, all seeded vegetables, and then forage and turf. And these are crops that you produce for animal feed, for the animals to fodder off, and then turf, your lawns and your grasses, what you might see in a golf course, for example. So the industry is segmented into these three types. They're called the field crops, vegetables and ornamentals, and forage and turf. They are three very unique industries. What a grain farmer might require is very different from the challenges a vegetable farmer might face or a vegetable seed company might face. So, however, global policies and national policies will impact all of these three business types. Within these crop types, we have those seed companies that just market seed. they license it from a breeding company, they multiply it and they market the seed, and then you get those companies that are purely in seed production. So it's a very diverse and dynamic industry. There's a lot of people, skill sets, and disciplines before that final seed gets to a farmer.
How has the seed industry in South Africa evolved over the past decade? And what significant achievements can you highlight?
That's an interesting one because I've been here for about just over a decade now. And in the last 12 or so years, when I started here in late 2012, we were facing a lot of mergers and acquisitions, talks of mergers and acquisitions, joint ventures, and everyone thought, and by everyone, I guess I'm included in that everyone, is that our seed industry and seed business is shrinking. We will have fewer seed companies and fewer options for farmers, less competitiveness. But what actually happened is we had local companies beginning to sprout up, which was really interesting and rather unexpected, but quite exciting because now we had a sort of interest from within the country to provide quality seed to farmers. So that was one interesting evolution of the industry. So I went from early 2013, about 60 odd seed companies in my membership. And today it stands over just under 90 seed companies. So rather diverse and an increasing number of players in the market. It speaks to maybe how the global industry is moving towards inclusivity within the seed arena. I think some of our achievements have been to support the seed companies. I would say one of the biggest was the establishment of the South African Cultivar Technology Agency, which you might have heard of. It's actually an endpoint royalty collection system. Why this was important for us is we were in a situation in about 2015, 2016, where we saw those seed companies that were selling self-pollinated crops were not selling more seed. They would sell 1 year's worth of seed and not sell for the next few years. So their return on investment was nil to nothing. They were unable to put money into R&D, and we were just not getting out new varieties of wheat and soybean and barley and oats, etc. So this system enables a collection of a breeding and technology levy at the end point of delivery. And this money goes back to the seed companies for R&D to develop new varieties. And since then, we have seen an increase in varieties for wheat and soybean. We've seen introduction of new biotech for soybean. We have seen the introduction of new international seed companies coming into South Africa because now we've positioned ourselves as a country that values this sort of investment and respects intellectual property. And I think I cannot completely answer this question if I don't mention the ISF World Seed Congress that we hosted in 2023, last year, June, actually almost 12 months ago today. And this brought the entire world's seed industry to our shores in Cape Town. And that was a difficult feat because we were actually meant to host this in COVID times and it kept getting pushed down. And SANSO worked really hard with ISF and the global players to make sure this Congress came to our shores, which wasn't just for us, it was for the continent.
That's absolutely beautiful. While we were talking through the highlights, what are some of the key challenges currently faced in the seed industry for that?
No day goes by without a new challenge in the seed industry. And I want to reiterate something I mentioned earlier when we started chatting was nobody really knows about seed. It's not something attractive. It's not something the average person can relate to. If I probably said seed, they probably think it's the stuff we sprinkle on our yogurt in the morning. But it is, again, the basis of our agriculture and any country's agriculture. And I think one of the biggest challenges we face is the undervaluing and the underappreciation of seed. And maybe probably work my whole life trying to give this message out to any and all who will listen to me. But with that, there are the usual challenges. Climate change. I don't need to mention to you that we are just receiving the havocs of climate change today. We don't know what's coming next. And how do we keep a sustainable industry under the current climate? It's not just about developing varieties that can deal with the weather, but also how do we put humans on the field? How do we put workers on the field in scorching temperatures? So climate change is really a reality, not something to be expected for in the future. I think another one is non-scientific regulations, unjustified regulations that we face with. Any given day, some country is going to say, we can't have seed from this country, or we can't bring in seed because we are unable to meet certain criteria. And another one that's an interesting one is this changing in trends. During COVID, we had a spike in healthy eating. In fact, during COVID, it was so interesting. Every single person in this country wanted to buy seed and be a gardener and plant their own food. And so you had these trends of interest from society. And these trends not just go to wanting to be a gardener, it goes from, I think I want to be vegan. We have philosophical issues. I want to be vegan. I want plant-based proteins. And then you have the other ones. I don't know what to call them, but today I want to be a keto follower and I only want to eat meat. So we have these trends and convenience. People want more convenience in their life. At the same time, you have their families that are unable to put food on the table. We have to think about affordability. Farmers are facing challenges and they are key to our industry. You know, they have to deal with diseases and pests and climates. The seed industry has a multi-client base, and we have to consider all of that when scientists breed new varieties. So these are ongoing challenges, Octavia. I'm just mentioning a few.
What's interesting of what you mentioned is how multi-layered the seed industry actually is and who the seed industry actually covers, which is a broader aspect of the consumer, a broader aspect of the farmer. It's so multifaceted, the industry, that you cannot say from today on that you do not know Senso, or you do not know what the contribution of Senso actually is.
Absolutely, Octavia. And if I could just put out a message before I sort of interrupt your questions, is when you go to the supermarket and you buy your breakfast cereal, or you go to the produce section to buy your vegetables, please remember that behind each of those products, whether it's your cornflakes or your Weet-Bix or the salad mix that you might buy, there was a multitude of scientists that came together over a period of 10 to 20 years per variety to develop that attractive lettuce and that Weet-Bix that gives you sustenance in the morning and fills your day. There's a multitude of scientists in this global and national seed industry that make sure you get fed every day.
No, definitely. It makes you realize so much more than you should have known about the industry and where your food actually comes from and how that is progressing in today's time. My final question is, what are the most significant trends in South Africa's seed industry today? And how do you envision the industry evolving over the next 5 to 10 years?
South Africa is not a standalone player in the seed industry. We are not a country who can, we breed our own seed, we produce our own seed. That doesn't exist anymore. Maybe that might have existed 100 years ago. But today's seed world, seed is bred in one nation, produced in another nation, and sold in a third, fourth, fifth nation. We are part of a global whole, and we're a contributor to this global whole. We are not just takers. South Africa, for example, is, I stand to be corrected, Octavia, but probably the second largest onion seed producer for the world. That basically means every fourth or fifth person has eaten an onion of which the seed was produced in South Africa. There's no stepping away from our global position. In Africa, we are a leading seed country. We're actually leading in agriculture, and there's no stepping away from this. We actually have to stand up for it now and make sure that we can continue to lead and support within the continent. So the trend is a global seed space. We are all dependent on each other. We are all actually also competing with each other. Countries are competing with each other for seed or grain. We're looking for markets, and there are people to be fed. So we will see more of trying to access new markets, trying to bring in different varieties into South Africa, or maybe even crop types. I think we might even see a bit of a focus on what some might call orphan crops. It sounds terrible as a word, but it's just those crops that have been eaten more by traditional communities, and they might bring nutritional value into diets today. So we're looking at inclusivity. We're going towards the direction of inclusivity, and we need to be a part of that as a country, as a business in a whole. The most important thing that would be required of us going forward is our agility. We need to be agile. We have to keep changing and being on the forefront and being trying to preempt problems and needs and seeing to what that might be.
Thanks so much, Dr. Lokeshni Chetty, General Manager of SANSO. For more on the topic, visit www.foodforumzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. From me, Octavius Pandil, our technical producer Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag team FoodForumZanzi. Thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love FoodForumZanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.